Hey, entrepreneurs and website owners. If you're ready to take your online presence to the next level, you need a reliable web host. And that's where HostGator comes in. HostGator is your one-stop solution for easy, affordable, and powerful web hosting. Whether you're launching a blog, an online store, or anything in between, HostGator's got you covered. Don't miss out on creating the website you've always wanted. Visit stigmasandopenwounds.com/HostGator today and let your online journey begin.
Hey everyone, welcome to a new Stigmas and Open Wounds. I'm Tracy.
And I'm Eric.
All right. So this week, as promised, we are going to do kind of a semi-deep dive into the book Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine. And this is a book that I was just thrilled to find in a Half Price Books on just kind of a stop that we just did on the way home from, I believe it was our Florida trip.
Yep.
That we happened to be kind of early, like on a really good time. And all of a sudden we're like, let's go to Half Price Books. And I had this on a wish list to buy. And all of a sudden I saw this and I'm like, yes, I'm buying this. And I could not wait to read it because it sounded so enticing, and the girl sounded a lot like me. So as I read it, I thought, was somebody following me around? Because other than the personal trauma that she went through, everything that she essentially thinks are things that I think. Would you kind of agree with that, Eric?
Well,
a lot of the things that she thinks. Kind of the personal thoughts that she thinks about people or just about life, maybe.
I think that if you recall the first time when I first started reading this book, the first chapter I read, I sat there and laughed the whole time I was reading it because
yes.
I was like, wow, this doesn't sound familiar at all.
Yeah, so. Well, there was a point where she went to go see her doctor and I thought, I've done this before. She said, I have back pains. And the doctor's sitting there, and I can't remember if he was trying to figure out what it was. And she goes, I already know what it is. It's my breasts. They're too large. And she goes, I've weighed them on a kitchen scale. This is how much they weigh. And I go to Erica. I said, I've done this before, but it wasn't a kitchen scale. It was a postal scale. And I'm like, I don't think there's many people in the world who have done this. And maybe there are, but it's just, I've been curious because it's got to put a tremendous weight on my back. And it seems like an odd duck thing to do. But yes, I'm thinking, I relate with this girl. So the entire time, there's so many things that this girl does that I'm like, yes, I get it. And so I felt a kindred spirit with this girl.
And what I really love about this book is that it took this character, which there are a ton of things this character does in this book that typically if a person saw that out in normal society, they would dislike it.
Right.
But I don't think there's anybody that would not love this character in this book. So they took all
right.
of these traits and things that we look at negatively in the, somehow I feel like the author was just able to masterfully take all of these traits, put them together and make just an
right.
endearing character.
Right. It's kind of like when you say, when you look at me and you say, everybody has issues because I look and I say, why do you even keep me around? Why do you love me? And you're like, but everybody has their own issues. So yours aren't any bigger than anybody else's. And that's kind of what this book does. It makes you look at her issues or whatever she does or anything. And you think, well, she seems pretty cool or I get it now. And I like that. It kind of, you see it at a different view. And I think that's the kind of thing that this book does. Whether that's what it was originally meant to do, I'm not entirely sure.
I would love to know, you know, what the author was going for with this book, because I do think that,
you know,
it has such a powerful behind. To the right person, this is an extremely powerful book, just because.
Right, for me it is.
Yeah, you can relate to so many of the things that they say, and then just how she twists it and makes you adore this character, even though probably most people in society, if they met Eleanor Oliphant on the street, would think she's weird, or, you know, they were just trying to ignore her because there's obviously something not right there. And she just did an awesome job with portraying that these are lovable people and things like that.
Right.
I will say, and I wasn't going to really talk about this, but you already spoiled this. But a lot of her issues did end up stemming from things that happened to her in her past.
Right. And we don't want to talk about necessarily what happened either.
But not necessarily just mental illness per se, but a lot of it stems from just negative things that happened to her growing up that caused her to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, I kind of felt that, like, when I, because that's not truly, truly revealed until the end of the, more towards the end
right.
of the
and,
book. Right,
and you're sitting there, and you're waiting, and you're just like, when are you going to tell me? And you're like, oh, wait, it's like the last freaking chapter that they really, really tell you. They tell you bits and pieces. And we should really give a little bit of a background of what this book is about. This book is about a girl. She is, I believe she's actually 30, either that or she's in her very early 30s. And she works, I think she's an accountant, but I know it's
she's some sort of business record keeper type person for a company. Yeah.
Right. And then what happens is she loves if she can go days on end without talking to anybody, seeing anybody, which, I mean, when I read that, I was like, yes, kindred spirit all the way. So it's kind of funny on that end. And then one day she needs to get her computer fixed by this IT guy. And the entire time, if anybody has ever seen the IT crowd, I pictured this guy as being one of the main guys. He was played by Chris O'Dowd. He was the guy, he had curly hair.
Okay. So the guy without the glasses.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's who I would envision him as.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. So, and she kept the entire time, she's like, oh, he didn't wear proper shoes. He always wore trainers. This took place in Britain, by the way, guys. But this is a pretty easy read. So if you are from the US, it's not like you're reading a whole bunch of British words and you're like, I do not get this. No, it's a pretty easy read. So she's saying he wears trainers, so tennis shoes. So he's got a little bounce to his step and she's judging his stuff and she's like, oh my gosh, he's like a child, but he's 30. And she's like, well, thank God I won't have to see him after today. Well, joke's on her because some stuff happens and they end up keep having to see each other again. But eventually it's not such a bad thing. And I'm not saying that they become friends. They just become more acquaintances, I guess you could say.
I would say they were friends. Well, yeah, maybe they neither one of them would. Well, I think Raymond, the guy, would have said that they were friends.
I mean, I didn't want to give it away, man.
But what, that Raymond was...
That they eventually kind of became friends.
Oh, so you're like trying to keep this like totally no idea what's going to happen in
this
book.
Yeah, well, I mean, they slowly became friends, yeah. But I mean, eventually she's, you know, like the first time after work, she's like walking out and then she's trying to go the other way. Because she doesn't want to be near him. She's like, oh, I'm not going. She's like, he's like, so where are you going? Where's your house? She goes, I've got an appointment, which is understandable. You don't always want to tell people where you're going. Like, I don't want you to know where my house is. You just fixed my computer. That's all. We work together. That's it. So yeah, they're acquaintances for a while. Some stuff happens. Eventually they do kind of become friends. And she has to open up this shell that she's formed over how many years. And it's a really interesting book to watch her open up this shell eventually. So yeah, it's really intriguing. And for me, it was different watching me read the book than watching Eric read the book, because I related with it so much. So I would laugh, I would cry, I don't think I ever watched Eric cry with it, because I don't think it affected him the same way. Plus I don't see Eric cry quite, you know, sometimes if we watch a certain kind of movie, he might, and he's like, I'm not crying, what? But yeah, so it is a very up and down kind of book, and it touches on a lot of different themes. It does touch on depression. I'm not going to tell you how, because I don't want to give away that portion of the book. I really don't. But yeah, it is an extremely, extremely deep, but also really light. I mean, I found myself laughing a lot during this book too. I really, really did. I mean, especially that part that I just told you about where she went to the doctor. It's a great, great book. So yeah. And
I think like her quirkiness is just so priceless. And I think maybe where this book could be a huge asset to anybody is if somebody that you know suffers from any sort of mental illness that causes them to act and do things a little bit different, and you're having a time, you know, being able to relate to that person and not getting frustrated with that person, I think reading this book might be able to open your eyes to the right, to the good within these people that have these quirky personality traits that might, to us as normal people or whatever you want to call it, what is normal, but
yeah, the neurotypical person. But again, like, who is neurotypical really?
How can you find these people endearing? Because they are. They have a ton of really cool little traits. And I think this book, to me, did a masterful job of just showing that, because, I mean, literally, this girl had every trait that a neurodivergent or whatever you want to call it type person had.
Yeah.
But I really don't think anybody could ever read this book and not think she was just an adorable, sweet character.
She was.
And I just thought that was masterful how they nailed that.
Well, so. And what's interesting is I actually, the other day, I did try to look up the author, because you and I had this conversation, like, either she has to be neurodivergent, she has to know somebody who's neurodivergent, something like that. And I did find a quote from her, and it said, in an interview with the Daily Telegraph, she did say, Eleanor Oliphant isn't me or anyone I know, but of course, I have felt loneliness. Everybody does. So it wasn't modeled after anyone.
That's surprising to me. Because
I agree.
She might have just gotten really lucky.
But
I wonder
if though she did somewhat model it after herself and she didn't know it.
Does
that make sense? Because maybe she is more neurodivergent than she realizes, but she's just not. You know, she's just not always lonely. She's just got some traits of neurodivergence.
Well, and she created that character, and that character came from somewhere.
So. Well, exactly. Like, you and I have talked multiple times about how the characters often model or turn out to be a lot like the author.
Right.
So
you write what you know. It's what you do when, as a writer. I mean, it's a lot easier to write a character you've seen and interact it with than to try and dream up something you can't even really relate to.
Right.
So.
Right. So it's not saying that Eleanor Oliphant is a lot like her. I mean, this girl has blonde hair. Eleanor Oliphant has brown hair. And yeah, sure, you change the color of the hair, and who knows. However, there's could be tendencies that are very similar. I don't know. I don't want to speculate, and then all of a sudden have her come after us and be like, "I'm normal." and have her be very mad and be like, I'm really smart and I'm, which granted, again, you could be very smart and be neurodivergent and well, all of and these things. Eleanor Oliphant was brilliant in this book.
Yeah.
But she just had some traits that people found very different. She kept her teacup in her desk because she did not trust the way that other people cleaned it. Guess what? I would do the same thing.
And that is another great example of this, of what they're showing in this book is that, you know, most of us would think that was weird that she had her own teacup and she put it in. But if you really think about it, the reason to better explain it, basically they had like, this is Britain, so they had like a public tea area at work, mm-hmm. that everybody could go get tea, and there was just tea glasses there, and everybody would just go grab their cup of tea and then put the glass back, and then inevitably somebody must have washed them and whatever. But you know, Eleanor always kept her own teacup. And she's like, I'm not going to drink out of a teacup that 100 other people have drinking out of. That's just disgusting. Right. Why would I do that? But they all thought it was weird that she kept her own teacup, so she was the only one drinking out of it. Now, when you think about that rationally, stop and think about it. Now, we all do this. We all drink public glasses and don't think twice about it. But it is completely rational.
Yeah.
To not want to drink out of a cup that 100 other people have drank out of if you can avoid it. What she was doing was probably more rational than what the rest of the people were doing. But for whatever reason, our society has just made the okay thing to do to
judge other.
Well, like, no, not to judge other people, but just to the right thing to do is to just drink the public cups. And even though
she likes everybody the way that should she
probably
it,
do
know?
It the way Eleanor does it.
Right.
And it's just a ton of little examples like that that make you realize, like Tracy does things all the time that I'm like
I don't she'll, get she'll it. Be oh,
she'll be like, don't. Oh, could you just like every time I use a dish rig, I have to throw it down the chute because
well,
dish rigs
time,
are just
but
disgusting.
But you just don't always like wring it out and then it gets smelly. But
the point is that so many of these things you do,
you don't understand
by default.
Why
I look at it as like, oh my God, Tracy, that's so anal and stupid. Shut up. But when you really break it down, it's like, okay, I guess that does make sense. And we should probably do it that way because it is less disgusting. It is less gross. It is less so many things, you know? And this book just captures that and shows that in a way. And it shows it in a way where you don't get frustrated with the character. You don't think she's nuts. You think it's quirky cute.
And I guess because of some of these quirky thoughts or quirky things that Eleanor does, you even wanted me to start a journal or diary, whether it is written or whether it is in podcast form, so that you can either read or listen to what goes on in my head so that you can better understand that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So that, and you're absolutely right, because when I read this book, what I thought was because a lot of what happens in this book is she does. So out in society, when you see somebody do something weird and quirky, a lot of times the people won't really explain to you why they do it. And if they do explain it to you, you just, it's hard for you to like totally grasp the reason.
Especially at that moment too.
Right.
Especially if somebody's.
Maybe if you reflect on it later, but.
Especially if somebody's like, well, no, I don't want to do that. And then maybe I get mad or that person gets mad, whatever. And then the whole thing gets heated at that moment. But if I throughout the day am just saying like, oh man, this just happened and blah, 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 you know. And it could end up just being an interesting story throughout the day.
Right. So, and what I think happens is if in this book, it's very, because you hear her thoughts and you're seeing it happen, the things she does make more sense to you. Because,
right.
Because you know exactly the reason why she's doing it. And the tea thing is a great example. Like if I just saw somebody doing that at work or whatever, I'd probably think that's weird.
Right.
I mean, I don't know that I would judge him or anything, but I'd be like, that's weird.
Right.
But then when she justifies it and, you know, and she's not saying this to a person, she's just saying this in her head, but it's written in the book because you hear her thoughts as well as hear her talk
right.
to people and things like that. And by having both sides of that, you see, you know, some of those quirky things that a person does, you have a better understanding of what to do. And that's why I thought you should write that journal.
Right.
Because then when you do these things that I just laugh at or I just think are the most bizarre things, ridiculous things that you do, if you were to write down why you're doing them, it would allow
or
me to reflect on that.
Or just things throughout the day, you might better understand how my brain
right,
works.
Exactly. And I think anybody could benefit from that. And I think this book is proof of that. Even if this is, now I want to be very clear. I don't even know if the author was even trying to do any of this
right.
with this book. But, and somebody else might read this book and get a whole different look at it from it. But I
right.
mean, the minute I opened this book and I read the first page, these are all the things that started happening in my brain because I just connected to this book at that level, which is really powerful. And it is really powerful if that's not what the author intended.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Because.
Right. Well, then the other interesting thing is that eventually Eleanor kind of goes through some stuff and then she starts seeing people differently too. So like on the bus at the end, I don't know if you remember, she's going through some stuff. And she sees this man and he won't sit by her. Like she's like, usually she likes to sit on the bus and have nobody sit by her, if I recall right. And then this man who's wearing no, like, I think he's wearing sandals with no socks and he's got discolored toenails and stuff like that. And then she starts crying because even he doesn't want to sit next to her, I think. And then he comes and passes her as he's walking past, like off the bus, and he comforts her and he's like, oh, sweetie, like what's going on? And she's like, oh, well, I just kind of thinking like, oh my gosh, I guess he's not such a bad guy. He just isn't wearing socks for whatever reason. Like, so suddenly her look at the world is transformed. Like, he doesn't need to wear socks with his, like, to cover up his ugly toes and everything. And she used to start judging people because, like, oh, gross, his ugly toes and all this. And I can't believe even he wouldn't want to sit next to little old me and all that, even though before I wouldn't want him to sit next to me, but even he passed me up and now he's comforting me. And it turns out he's really not a bad guy. And so there's little things where it just kind of goes around full circle. And it's just, it's a really, really interesting book. Just it in all shapes.
And
really.
And I think, like, again, I can like, how powerful is that scene right there where,
yeah,
where now she's seeing how she looks at other people, yeah, and is making rash judgments about, right, them in the same way that throughout the whole book, there's people looking at her doing the same thing. And how powerful of a message is that,
right,
to send? I mean, like, that is, I mean, that's worth its weight in gold right there. Just, right, that one story. And that's what you see over and over again in this book. And I feel like the book would, if you approach it in the right way, will, right, really open your, right, ideas.
You just have to make sure you approach it with an open mind, which, I mean, God, I would hope you,
well,
would.
Well, just that you absorb the power of how this girl is somebody that you, most people would look at and look down upon.
Yeah. Basically, oh gosh, yeah.
In so many ways. And yet throughout this book, you see her excelling, failing. You see, you just learn to adore her because, mm-hmm, because knowing the complete her, you see how wonderful of a person she is,
oh, right,
despite those
but
little,
there's, but
little
there's so
weirdities
many people,
of her.
There's so and, many people who would never take the time to get to know all of her.
Right, right. And I think and I think that's a huge part of society is that we can't look. If we see somebody and we're like, that person's weird, that's it.
Right.
You know, that it stops, yep, there. They're just weird. Where, yeah, it's like, well, maybe we as people should start trying to understand those people a little bit better, because, right, you might learn a lot from them.
Right. Right. And what do you constitute as weird? Like, why weird? And could weird be good?
Could it be that you're the weird one and she's, right, the normal one, or, you know, whatever? There's so many different things, but it's just, it was a real eye opener, and I've never seen that in another book I've ever read.
Right.
And so it was just hugely powerful.
Right. Right. And I think part of what hurts her is, but also what I like about her too, is she's very blunt and direct. But I kind of like it too, though, because she's just one of her things. But I think
maybe a lot of her bluntness and directness. The reason why it seems that she's so blunt and direct is because you're hearing a lot of her thoughts.
That is true.
Because she's not times,
but she does,
where
she does tell it to Raymond. She's like, you know, if you got a bus pass,
yeah,
it would cost you less. And then they get on the bus. Raymond, a bus pass, remember. and I do like that. And it's kind of funny because I just like that because, I don't know. It's like sometimes when you forget, like, oh yeah, people don't like bluntness all the time. But occasionally you just have to be blunt and just give it to them straight.
When Tracy gets stoned, she's
overly
blunt about things.
Yeah. But Eric likes that.
Because
you're like, oh man, you're lucky that you're cute when you when you get high and you
start spouting your mouth off about.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I think that was for the most part what I had to add, or to say about this. Except you guys really all, if you haven't read this yet, you need to get a copy of this. Go to your library. I'm sure they have it.
It is definitely worth a read, and it is definitely if you have somebody in your life that is suffering from any of these neurodivergent traits or whatever that you're having a hard time understanding. I feel like, because I'm now down and I've read two books on neurodivergence, and
did you finish the second one?
I did finish the second one.
I'm partway through it, and I'm so as soon as I finish, we'll do the.
In truth, I would not recommend either of the books, and it's not because it's not because they're bad books. It's just, once again, it goes back to this prop philosophy that
psychologists.
Yeah, the people that write this stuff are at a IQ level far superior to mine, and probably far superior to most people.
You know?
And it's nothing against them, but they write really dry.
Do you know what? It kind of goes back to when we were putting up our new lights, and I said, why can't this ever be easy? And you said, because they're electricians, or what did you say? And
engineers.
You're like, engineers. Yeah. And they're way smarter than us, and they don't know how to make things easy.
So, but I mean, so the simplicity of it is that, but it, where I was going with that is that, you know,
this is an easy book.
This is a good, easy book that I felt like really opened my eyes to things.
Yeah.
And I feel like it could do that for a lot of other people, as long as you approach it and realize that that's what you're going for. Because like I said, when I first started reading the book, I thought without a doubt, this was all about a neurodivergent person. And to be honest with you, when it got into the end and they started revealing all this dark stuff in her past,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I was kind of disappointed that they went the route of having all these things that stunned her in her past rather than just being, you know, having a mental condition.
Right.
And she did, but... Right. But I think the way they wrote it, it was designed that most of the scarring things that happened in her past are what caused it. And I honestly feel that took away from the power to me, because I wanted her so bad to just be suffering from a mental disease. And
right.
To show people like...
Still makes it a really good, interesting...
It was great, but it really took away from the fact that I can't now point definitively at this book and say, look, this is what a person with a neurodivergent trait goes through in society because of the way people treat them. But now people can read that book and say, well, it's just because she had so many terrible things happen to her in her past, which is disappointing. But
either way, she's still... You can get an idea.
You just have to go into it with the right frame of mind. If you go into it, read the book and say, well, she had all these terrible things happen to her. This isn't real. You know, like, this can't just happen to a person, that all those things have to happen to them.
Right.
Then you're not going to get the power of it.
Right.
But if you approach it and be like, this is my family member or somebody that I'm struggling mm-hmm. with understanding is going through, you can glean a lot from this easy read book.
Right. On our book review podcast, I give it a 4.9. So I say it's a pretty high book for me. I mean, and because it's kind of getting a little bit of the piss bit beaten out of it, because it went on vacation and then it went on vacation with you. And then I'm going to see if my mom wants it. So it's getting a little bit of love. I decided to buy a hardcover because I love it so much. Mm. So that means it's a good book for me. But it's definitely worth the read for me. And the other thing. I was like, I had something else that I wanted to say. The other thing is the fact that you actually read a nonfiction book.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Impressive.
Was that,
because you don't very often read fiction books, and after you read it, you said, "This is not something that I'm going to be doing very often." But because you knew that. You knew what you were going to get going into it, or at least somewhat what you were going to get. So, I think that was something.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I would totally recommend this to anybody, especially if you're struggling with understanding a person, because I do think it could shed a lot of light.
Even if you're trying to understand somebody who's not neurodivergent, just because it helps you with understanding.
Well, and that's the important thing, like, is that we put this classification where certain people are neurodivergent, certain people are neurotypical. Is that what the two terms they use?
Yeah.
And, but the simple fact of the matter is that I believe everybody has a trait within them that is very neurodivergent.
Right.
Like there is just something in the world that you think and believe that is way different from the norm in the world. So we all have those traits. So even if it's not somebody that you would even classify as neurodivergent.
Right.
But if there's something they believe that you just cannot get your head around.
Right.
I think this book could help you to understand that.
Right.
Because it might make you realize that you need to learn why that person believes that.
Right. Like if they had a section in the bookstore called Help in Understanding or something like that, this could be in that section.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think this is a great book for that. And I just think it's a phenomenal book in general. And I'm sad to be done with it. And I'm actually sad that Eric is done with it, because every morning when he would read his chapter, I'm like, how's Eleanor today? So
And what is a shame is I don't remember if I specifically looked this up, but I don't think this author has really written anything
When I looked her up the other day and got that quote, she had started a book in 2018 that was supposed to be taking place in a different time and place, and that's all I had heard since.
Hit the old writer block, huh? And probably
or she's just really working it hard. Because yeah. I know my favorite author, when I saw her speak this past year, she said that she was going to be working on something and it might take her a little bit. But 2018, that's quite some time.
that is a lot of time ago.
And I thought a book came up under her name, but I know I had searched her because after I finished this, because I had really wanted to read another book of hers, and the only ones that came up were the different language versions. So, I mean, there might be one out there, but...
Yeah, it's a shame that, you know, being that this book was so good, you would hope that she would come out with something else. But if she can't deliver upon even... equal that or top that, maybe it's just better that she goes down
right
with that dynasty of that book, because that, I mean, to me, that's, she wrote a very special book, you know, and congratulations to her, because like I guarantee you she poured her heart and soul into that book.
So either way, I know that's going to be a very special book to me, and yeah, I'm definitely going to keep that one in a special place in my room and in my heart. So yeah, I mean, and it provided a really good podcast subject, because I think it's just a very good understanding kind of book. So whether it's a neurodivergent understanding, whether it's just general understanding, I just think it's just a great laugh, cry, everything kind of book. I really like it. I think the characters are great. I think just everything's great. So, but do you have anything else that you want to add before we close this one out?
No, man.
All right.
My podcast host over here is just barely keeping his eyes open. So I think he's saying, it's time. It's time, Papa.
All right, Sterling. Well, we'll give him some information. As always, if you have any questions, comments, anything like that, you can send us an email at stigmasandopenwounds@gmail.com. And we also have additional stuff at Instagram and Facebook.
Stuff,
you know, posts and whatnot.
That's some powerful, powerful marketing right there. Stuff.
Well, it's just some posts at Facebook and Instagram, and so we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode, and we'll see you then.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.